Welcome to the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Football Podcast. I am Justin Mason, lead fantasy writer and analyst for friendsoffantasybenefits.com. Joining me on this episode is Colin Weatherwax. Colin, how you doing?
Doing good, Justin. How's it going?
Oh, it's been an interesting week. Finally got moved into my place, so that's why we're back to recording finally. And I started school, so that's a whole other process in itself. But we are ready and here to talk some football. We need to kind of wrap up some of our division previews. And we're going to start with my home division, which is the NFC East, the home of my Washington Redskins. And we'll talk about them later. Colin, I don't know. What is your team?
The Raiders.
Oh, that's right. Okay. So that's I do remember listening to the AFC West podcast. So.
Yeah, about 30 minutes or so worth of Raiders talk.
Well, then before we even get into the NFC East, I got a question to ask because I don't think I've talked to any Raiders fans on the podcast since they have announced that they're going to be moving to Las Vegas. Will you still be a fan when they move to Vegas?
Of course. Yeah, definitely. And it'll actually be cheaper for me to go to a game because a Vegas flight from Dallas is like $45.
Well, and I mean, they get your money in other ways.
Yeah, that's true. But yeah, it doesn't really affect me one way or another. I grew up a Raiders fan. The year they went to the Super Bowl is the year I became a fan. So I've lasted this long, you know, through the 2 to 4 win seasons for like 10 straight years. So just because they're moving, it's probably not going to sway me away from them.
I actually owe my life to the Oakland Raiders.
So, really?
I don't think I've ever told this story publicly, at least not on this podcast, and I don't think I've told it anywhere else. So the Redskins and the Raiders played each other in the Super Bowl.
Mm-hmm.
And when the Raiders won the Super Bowl over my Washington Redskins, the story goes that my mom got pretty inebriated, and 9 months later, my twin brother and I were born.
Wow.
So I literally owe myself I wouldn't be here if it wasn't for the Oakland Raiders.
You're welcome. But yeah. That was a story I thought was going to take one turn, and then you just took a completely different turn.
So, but let's talk about the NFC East. We'll start in alphabetical order like we have been doing previously. In spite of the fact that means I got to talk about the Dallas Cowboys first. And the Cowboys are an interesting team. They really return a fantastic offensive line. They lose some pieces in Witten and Dez Bryant. Why don't we start at quarterback with Dak Prescott, who had an amazing rookie season and a disappointing year last year. Where do you fall on Dak Prescott?
2 QB league is fine for me. In a, you know, standard 10-12 team league, he's probably not on my radar. You kind of hit the nail on the head there saying that he lost Witten, he lost Dez, and he's got a lot of new faces, a lot of new people to throw to with Allen Hurns, Michael Gallup, and basically no tight end on the roster that's worth owning. So I want to see it first. There might be a possibility that he could be streamable, you know, come the middle part of the season if he's, you know, kind of takes over like Russell Wilson does and kind of does it all with his feet, gets other guys involved, and possibly he could fall in the streamer category, but he's not someone that I'm targeting during draft season.
Yeah, I just don't see the upside. And I think this is a team that is going to rely on Ezekiel Elliott and that offensive line. I think they will ask Dak Prescott to do as much as he can to take the pressure off of Elliott. But I don't think they necessarily even want him opening up this offense unless they're down. So I agree with you. I think he's a QB2. I think he is a somewhat safe QB2 because while he definitely regressed in the interception department from his rookie year, I mean, what he did in his rookie year was obscene in terms of turnover ratio. So I think he is a safe QB2, but not necessarily a guy that I'm really running to the waiver wire for, or even targeting much in my drafts. He's kind of a fallback option for me because I tend to like to draft some upside with my QB2s, and I just don't see a ton in Dak Prescott.
Yeah, he's not sexy at all by any means.
All right, then let's talk about Ezekiel Elliott. I've seen him go middle of the first round. I've seen him go first overall in drafts. Where are you at on Elliott?
He's the bottom of my top four. I'm taking Le'Veon Bell, Todd Gurley, and David Johnson over him just because it kind of reminds me of, Adrian Peterson in Minnesota. Just kind of, it's just him. You know, he's going to be facing a lot of 8-9 man boxes. They're going to one-on-one these receivers until they can actually show that they can make plays. And that scares me a little bit. I think he's good enough to still be valuable. I do think that he won't return draft value unless, you know, Allen Hurns or Terrence Williams just becomes a wide receiver one all of a sudden. But he's on the tail end. I think the talent's still there. You can't deny that. But just the team around him isn't very good, so it's a little scary. So if I was picking between, you know, those top four, that's what will set it apart for me. You know, Zeke doesn't have the best offense around him.
All right, so let's say you have the fourth pick. Are you taking him or are you going wide receiver?
In a PPR, I'm going to Antonio Brown. In a standard league, I'll probably take Zeke.
Okay, I think I'm still taking Brown in a standard league. I worry about him facing these stacked boxes. We saw it with Todd Gurley 2 years ago. Before the Rams added a little bit of help on the outside in that offense, Gurley just got stuffed constantly. And while Elliott's going to make a lot of his money through just volume of touches, because they're just going to feed him the rock as much as they can, and he's got a ton of talent and a really nice offensive line in front of him, I just worry that there is kind of a cap on the ceiling, considering what the rest of the offense is going to look like. Because as we move into the wide receivers in Dallas, like you mentioned, there's Allen Hurns, there's Cole Beasley, there's Terrence Williams, there's the rookie Michael Gallup. You know, Tavon Austin's on this roster, Deontay Thompson's on this roster. There's not a ton there. If you had to draft a Cowboys wide receiver, who's it going to be?
Dez Bryant. Oh, okay, the current one. Probably Allen Hurns, just because there's a possibility for the most targets. There's a possibility for him to, have the most receptions of this bunch. But I'm probably staying away from this whole receiver core. I know there's a whole bunch of people that are super high on Michael Gallup, but I'm staying away from him. I'm not paying that price this year, because I want to see it first, and I also don't have a lot of faith in this offense, like we've said. But, if I were to draft Allen Hurns, it's going to be in a best ball, because I don't want to have to mess around with, the streaky weeks. But I do see, in like a 10-team league, both of these guys probably not being drafted, either Hurns, Terrence Williams, or Michael Gallup. So, if they come off on the scene, and they start tearing up, they have 10-point weeks back to back, then maybe I'll make a waiver claim, but I don't think they're anybody that I'm going to be drafting.
Yeah, I'm very intrigued by Gallup, and I've watched him play through the preseason, and there are moments that really excite me about him, especially with how well he runs routes. And I think we talked on a previous episode that one of the hardest parts in going from a college player to an NFL player is a wide receiver learning how to run a precise route, because the corners in the NFL are just so much better on the large than what they see in college. You can't just get away with your physical talents kind of overtaking a corner, because all those corners have those physical talents that you have. So you have to be able to run a precise route and be able to time it well with your quarterback. And so far, what I've seen from Michael Gallup is very impressive in that regard. He's showing all the polish that Devontae Parker has never shown. people are probably wondering why I'm bagging on Devontae Parker. It's because Parker was this sleeper pick for years, for the last few years, because people saw the physical talent and go, okay, this guy is going to break out at some point. But if you can't get off of press coverage and you can't run a precise route, you're never going to be, unless you're a Randy Moss type talent. Not to say that Randy Moss couldn't run a route, but I mean, unless you have that physical advantage over the competition, you're never going to break out. And that's been the issue with Parker. I don't see Gallup having those issues. I don't think he is the number one wide receiver, obviously, day one. But I would say halfway through the season, I bet you he is the top receiver on this team. Allen Hurns scares me because of the injuries. There's been too many concussions and too many other nagging injuries. And I think he probably enters week one as the number one wide receiver. But I don't want him on my roster, especially in a deeper format league, because I just don't think he's going to stay healthy.
And no interest in Terrence Williams?
No, because Terrence Williams is he's a less physically gifted Devontae Parker. He's a dude who just can't figure out how to properly run a route. So, you see the flashes, and people see those flashes and go, oh, man, maybe this is the time. But it never actually comes to fruition. The one thing I will say about Gallup, though, is you need to be very kind of cognizant of what site you're playing on in terms of terms of where you're drafting him. Like, so on ESPN, he's going around pick 135, which doesn't give you much of a discount or room for huge upside, especially with the guys. Mike Williams of the Chargers is going behind him. Anthony Miller of the Bears, who I like a lot, going behind him. James Washington of the Steelers, who I like a lot, going behind him. So there's not necessarily a ton of Keelan Cole, Jags wide receiver, going behind him. There's a bunch of guys who I kind of like a little bit more going behind him. I'm looking him up on MFL 10 right now to see where I can see where he's going, because that'll kind of determine, at least for me, he's going 181 on MFL 10. So depending on the site you're playing on, he is a little bit more of a bargain, and I think I'd probably prefer him on like an MFL 10 site as opposed to maybe Yahoo or ESPN. All right, let's move on. And is there a tight end on this team you're interested in at all?
No.
Okay.
No.
So you're not banking on the fourth round pick Dayton Schultz, or it looks like Blake Jarwin may be in line for the starting role to begin the season. I don't want to be a part of any of those tight ends. So
it's basically just Zeke and a couple dart throws later on in the draft or waiver wire guys for me.
I completely agree with you. All right, let's move on, and we will talk about the New York Giants again. Another interesting team, largely because of their running back in that Saquon Barkley, but let's start with the quarterback situation there. Eli Manning was supposed to be gone. So what are you doing with Manning now?
he's kind of interesting this year just because of all the talent around him. So it's a lot more appealing than it has been in the past few years for Eli Manning. I think he is probably a chalk play for an improved season, possibly a high-end QB2. I've found myself drafting him a lot more this year, more as like my backup quarterback, just in case, Odell has a season that everyone's hoping, Saquon has a season everyone's hoping, and then you sprinkle in a little bit of Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram, and he's got a really good offense. He's got an improved line in front of him as well. He's got a competent coach, I think. There's a chance that he could find himself as a top 10 quarterback this year, and getting him at the price that he's going now, which is mostly undrafted as far as I've seen, if not undrafted, it's really, really late, then he's a guy that I'm definitely taking a flyer on.
I think I'd rather have him than Dak Prescott.
Oh yeah.
that seems weird because Prescott I think is a little bit safer, but for instance, like, in MFL 10, Prescott's going off as the number 19 quarterback, whereas Eli Manning's going off as the number 25 quarterback, 30-plus picks later. I'll take that discount for the upside that Manning has. Now, let's be honest. He looked atrocious last year, but he was also throwing from his back a lot of the time because, like you mentioned, that line was atrocious last year, and they've made some upgrade. Nate Solder comes in as a free agent. They draft Will Hernandez in the second round. The right side of that line still sucks. So there may be some issues on his front side, but at least his backside should be protected now, which, you know, could buy him some time in the pocket. And they are just flush with talent on this team. You know, they add Saquon Barkley, Odell Beckham, hopefully back healthy and ready to go. Sterling Shepard showed some stuff last year. Evan Ingram was a monster at times last season. So a ton of talent around him. The question is his arm still a noodle?
Yeah, that could be the issue. But, I mean, getting him at that discount, like you said, and you're not drafting him to be your starter. So, for instance, if your starter goes down with an injury, if they have a tough matchup, if, you know, you're hedging your bets, you've liked what you've seen from Eli, having him on your bench so that way no one else in your league can get him is something that I'm a fan of, especially because if he's terrible, if he looks like the same Eli, drop him for somebody else that's going in that range, you know?
Yeah. If you're playing a long game and you don't think Eli Manning is going to succeed, who's the next man up? Is it Davis Webb? Is it the rookie Kyle Loretta that they drafted in the fourth round?
I guess it's Webb, but I mean, there's no one like as a dynasty format or anything like that that I'm looking at. Okay. I think with this coaching staff, with the talent around him, I think they're going to give Eli Manning every chance to basically muck it up. Even if, you know, he's looked terrible, I think he's still going to stay in the games.
All right, Saquon Barkley is going higher than you see most rookies go. He's going as the pretty much the eighth overall player off the board in NFL 10s. You know, that seems super high, but if you've ever watched a highlight film, and if you've never watched a highlight film of Saquon Barkley, go to YouTube right now and just go down that rabbit hole, because the things he did in college were amazing, and I don't think I've seen a running back like that come into the NFL since Adrian Peterson did, and I think there are reasons to believe that he could be better, worse. Where are you at on Saquon Barkley for this season? Is he a top 10 pick to you?
He is, and kind of picking back on, you know, some of his highlight tapes. I mean, in a few of my dynasty leagues that I'm in, there were people that were doing the hashtag tank for Saquon. I mean, This guy could completely turn you around from a last place finish to a first place. He's got that talent. And so you said that he's averaging about pick 8 in NFL 10s. So I've had quite a few, like 6th to 7th overall picks this year, and I've found myself just leaning towards him. I'm not too keen on drafting Kamara. I'm a little bit worried about, you know, a little bit more competition and him not living up to what he did last year. So I'm kind of taking the stab at the guy I haven't seen yet. And he's a guy that I think is definitely going to go in the first round. He's definitely right up there, right at the back end of those top four guys. There's an argument for him to be the 5th overall running back off the board. So he's in an offense. He's with a quarterback that's competent. He's very experienced, so he's going to know where Saquon is at all times. Like you said, he has an improved line around him, and he's just so dynamic, so explosive. He can catch. He can run. He's a complete running back, and I'm really excited to see what he does this year.
Yeah, I've got the 7th pick in a draft this weekend that Howard Bender, a fantasy and Larum and SiriusXM put together, and it's like a battle of the sexes. You have to be married, and your spouse has to be in the league with you.
Okay, that's interesting.
So, and for those who don't know, my wife is quite the shit talker, so it was an easy decision for Howard to put us in the league. So I've got this. She's got the first pick, of course, which, you know, just, you know, bites my craw a little bit, but I've got the 7th pick, and I am considering Saquon Barkley. Now, it obviously depends who falls, and there's a chance, you know, I've seen Saquon Barkley go as high as number 2 in drafts, which I think is insane. But that being said, I understand people going for him as early as pick 4. I don't know if I'm going to be able to pull the trigger at 7. I think 7 even feels a bit early for me. But I, you know, it's a huge upside play. I mean, this could be the number 1 player in fantasy. There's no doubt the talent level is there. The hamstring worries me a little bit, but he, you know, returned to practice yesterday, so hopefully that means that he is on track. for week one. Ultimately, there are a ton of weapons on this offense, and I don't know if this is necessarily a team that is going to fall behind in games, and so maybe they move away from the running game, and that, while it could hurt his value a little bit, he's a fantastic pass catcher and a dynamic talent out of the backfield catching the ball, so I don't necessarily know that that hurts him. I don't know. I think for me, I would feel more comfortable getting him towards the end of the top 10, but I have no problem if people want to go up to, you know, 4, 5, or 6 to get him.
Yeah, it sounds like you probably won't have too many shares this year.
I got him in, or I took him, the only place I've taken him so far was a mock draft for a magazine that's on newsstands now. I don't know, I can't remember the name of it. Back, we did the mock draft back in May, And I took him with the 8th overall pick.
Yeah, I think, you know, the start of the draft season way back then, right after the actual NFL draft, that's whenever you could have gotten the best value for him. But coming up on 2 weeks, less than 2 weeks left before the start of the season, you're going to be hard-pressed to get him outside the top 6 or 7.
What's crazy to me, like, if you look over at his MFL 10 page, his max pick is 19th. He went 19th in the draft.
Then do you have that, you know, sorted by a date from the beginning or just past month or so?
I don't, but let me, let's see, I'll change it to, we'll say from July 1st, and we'll see what his max pick is for the last 2 months or so. 14th.
He fell
since July 1st, he's fallen to 14th in drafts. So.
Maybe like right after the injury, possibly, but yeah, that's crazy. I feel good. If I was that guy, I'd feel great.
Yeah, even if I move it up, if I move it up to this month, it happens sometime this month. So I'm assuming probably right after the injury.
Yeah.
All right, let's talk about the wide receivers. Odell Beckham straight back to being top of the heap as a wide receiver one.
Oh yeah,
third wide receiver off the board.
I love Odell Beckham. I'm a little upset with myself. I did an auction draft, my first auction of the year, and he went for $48, and I wanted to get one of the top three, so I overspent on Julio. I got Julio for $52. So I think there's still a lot of people that are sleeping on Odell, and you know, just because they haven't recency bias, they haven't seen him do it in a while. I know there's a lot of gifts from the training camp and from the preseason or their practices and stuff where he's doing the one-handed catches again. So I think pretty soon it'll become clear that he's going to be, you know, arguably the second wide receiver off the board, arguably in the first round or right at the end, beginning of the second. So I have no doubt that, you know, if he stays healthy, he's going to provide what he did in his best year, if not better. I am a little bit worried because he's not the only guy there. There is Saquon, like we've talked about. There's Evan Ingram, who he played a couple games with, and Sterling Shepard came on last year as well. So, you know, there is a little bit of that. And if Noodle Arm can't get one guy the ball, how do you expect him to get four guys the ball? So there is that argument to it. He probably has the worst quarterback of the top three receivers, arguably. So that's
I don't think that's arguable. I think it's pretty obvious he has the worst quarterback of the top 3-4 wide receivers. But at the same time, like, Sterling Shepard did not come on before Odell Beckham got hurt. Like, it took Beckham coming out of the lineup for Sterling Shepard to step up. So if anybody's going to take a huge step back this year, it's Sterling Shepard. Eli's going to look for Odell. Yeah. My biggest fear is that the return of Odell Beckham stifles some of Evan Ingram's value, because Odell's going to get looked for in the red zone the majority of the times. That's going to be the first look for Eli. And so I'm not worried at all about Odell Beckham. As long as he is healthy week one, he's, you know, my second wide receiver, you know, maybe my third wide receiver most weeks. So I have no worries about him. I do have worries about the other two guys, Sterling Shepard and Evan Ingram. Like I said, they really took off. Ingram started to take off before Odell was hurt, but Shepard took off after. I think he goes back to being the third and maybe fourth receiving option in this offense behind Beckham, Barkley, and Ingram. I think Shepard is a tad bit or quite a bit overrated coming into this draft season. I do like Ingram, though. I just love the physical talent, and we've seen in the past that Eli does love having a tight end who can, you know, put a big body in the red zone. So I'm not as worried tad bit, but I'm willing to take the price on Ingram, and I've taken him in a number of leagues. Sterling Shepard will not be on any of my teams except for the Dynasty League. I've owned him since he was a rookie.
Yeah, I think I agree with the Evan Ingram thing, but it sounds to me like you're still taking the chance on him, and he's kind of on my do not draft list. Just because, like you said, Eli's going to be looking for Odell in the red zone. It's going to take a lot of targets away from Evan Ingram, and the fact that they added Saquon Barkley in this offense as well. I think he's going to fall to the wayside, unfortunately. He has the talent. He's going to have, you know, those breakout games where he's wide open, safety forgets to cover him. I'm fine with that, but I don't think he'll be as consistent this year as he was last year. And as far as Sterling Shepard, I think I'm with you. Flex option in a deeper league, but probably not one of my top three wide receivers.
I'll push back a little bit on Ingram because while, yes, he definitely benefited from Odell being out, Odell, let's see, leaves after week five. And Ingram still had, decent weeks, week one through four. Like, he wasn't lighting the world on fire or anything, but he had a touchdown. He had at least four catches in each of those games and 40 yards. Now, those aren't, like, stats that you're going crazy over, but in today's day and age with a tight end position, you know you've got at least a safe floor. He's going to see probably 6-7 targets at minimum a game and hopefully at least one or two in the red zone. And you've just got that huge upside. Man is just a monster and so difficult to cover, especially when they spread him out. I don't think he may suffer a little bit, but he's still going, like, as the number six tight end off the board. It's not like he is being overdrafted right now.
See, I think he is, and I think this is kind of getting to, you know, one of our patented bets. So I'm looking at the NFL ADP. He's going as the fourth tight end off the board.
Oh, okay, so ESPN, he's going six.
Yeah, he's going as the fourth off the board, and then I'm trying to pull up our ranks here to see, you know, the discrepancy between me and you. So you have him ranked fourth. I have him ranked 10th.
Wow.
So do you want to go ahead and do a bet, just kind of split the difference and say I'll say he won't be a top seven tight end this year?
I say I will.
Okay, let's do it.
That's an easy one for me.
All right, barring injury, of course, and we'll just use standard league. But I don't think he'll be his top seven tight end.
Yeah, no, I definitely think he's a top seven tight end.
Sweet. Another one in the win column for me.
All right, let's move on, talk about the Philadelphia Eagles. The world champion Philadelphia Eagles, as much as that pains me to say because I just hate Philly fans for the most part. I love the city of Philadelphia, and it was actually a pretty sweet moment for me. One of my best friends passed away of cancer in 2017, and so to see them go on and win a Super Bowl, and kind of, it was a pretty amazing moment to kind of see that. And I know he was kind of looking down, or looking up. He was kind of an asshole too. And probably had a pretty big smile seeing the Eagles win that Super Bowl. So, but let's start with the quarterback situation. Carson Wentz is still questionable for Week One. They've got Nick Foles on this roster. Obviously, you're not drafting Nick Foles unless it's usually just picking him up as a handcuff off of waivers. If you got Wentz, or maybe for some reason you decided to go with Jameis Winston as your starter, what are you doing with Carson Wentz? Is he on your do not draft list? Is he a guy that you're targeting and taking a discount on because of the injury?
Yeah, this reminds me a lot like last year with Andrew Luck. Completely different injuries, mm-hmm. Completely different timetables as well, but you're getting a discount on a top quarterback. I'm probably going to take that discount. To be honest, I mean, the ceiling is so high, and luckily in most of my drafts last year, I drafted him as my backup quarterback, so I reaped the benefits for most of the year. But, you know, coming into this year with the questionable status, with, you know, basically no timetable set, and still a question of if he's going to land on the PUP list or not, I'm going to take that discount, and if I have to, then I'll drop him and I'll pick up another guy off the waiver wire. But I'm not comfortable drafting him as my starter. I'll draft him, you know, towards the end of the draft if he falls. I'm not going out of my way to get him.
See, he's not falling that far though. I mean, you can't draft him as a backup. Like that's not going to happen.
Let me see where. Oh wow, he's going as a sixth quarterback off the board. Okay, like,
So I mean, like, you have to really believe he's going to be back healthy and be able to repeat what he did. And I don't know. I think he'll be back and healthy, you know, early on in the season. I don't know that he can repeat what he did last year, especially if they want to try to protect him from getting hit and getting re-injured. They're going to hand the ball off, a fair amount more. You know, Alshon Jeffrey is Alshon Jeffrey, so he's already hurt and questionable for the early part of the season. So there's a receiver down. Who knows what Darren Sproles looks like coming off of his knee injury. I think this offense is, especially to start the year, is going to be a lot more conservative once Wentz is in. So for me, he falls like just outside of that, you know, the first few tiers that I'm willing to draft a quarterback, and then I'm waiting. And so like he's I'm going to have no shares of Carson Wentz, and I like him as a talent, but I think for 2018, I'm out on the draft price.
Well, I think, you know, the closer we get to the start of the season, the more news comes out about him. I'm looking at the MFL 10's, you know, ADP, and I see Andrew Luck is the quarterback 11 and Carson Wentz as quarterback 7 in the past month and a half. So I think that could probably flip-flop, you know, just because of the situation. If he comes out that he's definitely going to miss week 1 or 2, and Andrew Luck has shown that he looks healthy. Now, you know, he has looked pretty bad, but he's a little rusty, but... you know, if he starts to fall down into that tier, I'll feel a lot more comfortable. But I think I'm with you. I don't think I could pay that price. I don't want to pay basically any price for a quarterback this year. I've seen enough drafts where, you know, you can get a Jimmy Garoppolo, a Matthew Stafford as your last round pick. And that's something that I'm looking for. But I probably won't go out of my way to draft Carson Wentz unless towards the end of draft season he starts to fall, you know, in the Andrew Luck territory.
Yeah, give me a Stafford or a Rivers or a Roethlisberger, you know, rounds later. I don't want that question mark at that position. I want to kind of set it and forget it with quarterback. So, running backs, are you Jay Ajayi believer? There's some people who think Corey Clement is a guy to own this year. For me, I kind of feel like I should just avoid all Eagles running backs. Where are you at with the Eagles running game?
I think I want to avoid them all. I've seen Jay Ajayi go very high, and I don't understand it. I've seen Corey Clement go even higher, if you can believe that, in some of the drafts. So there's people that are believers in one or the other, but I think it might be one of the situations that you want to wait and see. And if you're not comfortable with drafting them, you know, where they're going, then you probably just need to get rid of the Eagles backfield off your draft list, because, you know, Jay Ajayi, he's been okay. He's been serviceable. He's got a little bit of an injury issue. He's been plagued by injuries, you know, most of his career as well. And, you know, you're telling me that he's injury prone and he has some competition now. I don't think Clement is a full-time running back. I think he's more of a third down guy. But if they're going to implement him first and second down, that's going to bite into his time. And they're both just going too high for me to even think about drafting him.
Yeah, there's part of me that wants to buy into the hype because I do love the talent. But I think the way they keep him on the field is by splitting the workload. And I don't want any part of that. And then I go over to his ADP. So on MFL 10, since the beginning of August, players going behind Ajayi, let's see, Deion Lewis, Royce Freeman, Sony Michel, Ronald. Well, I don't care about Ronald Jones because Ronald Jones looks so bad. And I knew he couldn't catch the ball. Like, I knew he's never going to be a pass catcher, but the comments from the organization about how bad he is at catching passes, like that's like just like warning signs everywhere. So Kerryon Johnson going behind Ajayi, Nick Chubb, and Carlos Hyde, Aaron Jones. There's just the number of guys that I think I like more and aren't, you know, obviously the Cleveland running backs are in a little bit of a crowded situation. But the other, some of these other guys, they have this their role to themselves, and they're playing on teams that are going to try to protect protect their quarterbacks and protect their defenses more than maybe Philadelphia might do. So I, as much as I think early on the Philadelphia offense will be conservative, as soon as Wentz is back and kind of accustomed to being back in the starter's role, I think they'd love to open it back up. So that really hurts Ajayi. What are you doing with Alshon Jeffrey?
I don't really want him. I'm a little bit nervous about the injury situation. I mean, the upside is there. We saw it last year, but I want to see him get on the field. I want to see, you know, reaps of my draft price. And right now I'm not seeing it. And, you know, looking at ADP, he's going as the 24th wide receiver sandwiched between Marvin Jones and Jarvis Landry. There is a discount, but it's not great. It's still 50th overall as far as the pick on average. So, you know, give me some guys after him. If he starts to fall, then possibly for like the end of my bench. But as a guy that I'm hoping to be my wide receiver 2 or 3 going into the season, I'm not very comfortable with that.
I don't mind it, especially if I get him as my number 3 wide receiver. But even as like a low end 2, I don't mind that draft cost. And I mean, you know, to be quite honest, I'm sure you at some point were a fan and maybe still are a fan of the 06010 podcast, the
Oh yeah,
Fantasy Focus. So the fan, like Alshon Jeffrey, like fits that fantasy kryptonite for me. Like I do not quit him, and I never have. I've had him every year since he was a rookie. I've already drafted him a couple times this year. Like it's just gonna continue to, plague me when he's bad and help me win leagues when he's good. So I'm back in on Alshon Jeffrey. I don't mind the draft price. Because I think in some leagues he'll go lower than that. But he was seen catching balls on the sideline, I think yesterday at practice. So that to me is a sign that he's inching his way back for week one. Are you an Aguilar fan? I've been very critical of him. He broke out last year, kind of finally proving me wrong after first few years of just really disappointing everybody. So are you buying in on Nelson Aguilar?
I'm buying in at his price. His price is wide receiver number 40, 94th overall. And, you know, if Jeffrey, which I think if Jeffrey misses some time, he's going to be the number one wide receiver on that team for Carson Wentz or Nick Foles to throw to. So give me him 50 picks later. And, you know, just with the discount, I mean, I'm a fan, but I also think he's kind of too small. He reminds me of DeSean Jackson. So he kind of has that niche of big playability, but not really too reliable. But if he's the one wide receiver on the field for Philadelphia, then that's a different thing. It's a different picture. So at that draft price, I'm definitely interested in Aguilar.
See, I actually prefer him when Jeffrey's on the field because he is the yin to that yang. And they made a point in the later part of that season last year to get him the ball, you know, whether it was with a bubble screen, you know, a ton of bubble screens. But like when they got the ball in his hands, he's dynamic. And last year was the first year where it didn't feel like he had a case of the dropsies all the time.
Mm-hmm.
So I agree with you. I love the draft price. But I do prefer him a little bit with Alshon Jeffrey on the roster because I think he if he's the only guy on the field, their defenses are just gonna, you know, push up on him, not let him get off the line, not let him get those bubble screens. Whereas with Jeffrey, I think they have to respect the other side a little bit more. So that being said, I love him. I mean, that price is ridiculous. Like considering what he did at the end of the year last year and the talent he showed and. The offensive coordinator's desire and the Eagles' desire to get the ball in his hands, I can't understand why he's going as late as he is.
Yeah, it doesn't make any sense to me. I mean, the guys going around him, he's going after Pierre Garçon, after Randall Cobb, who's always hurt, and, you know, Sterling Shepard's going right after him as well. So just that draft price is very interesting for me.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, he's going after Will Fuller. And don't get me wrong, I love Will Fuller, but what has Will Fuller proven in this league that Nelson Agholor hasn't.
That he can catch, you know, one touchdown per 15 or per five receptions or something like that.
Yeah, but it's going to be for 80 yards, Colin.
Yeah, I agree with you. There's people that, you know, he had 15 catches and he had seven touchdowns last year, but we all know that that's unsustainable. But yeah, I think Nelson Agholor has definitely got some more skills than Will Fuller, who's just the speed.
Well, Will Fuller is like, I don't know if this was, if this is the actual name of this game that you play as a kid, but you ever play the game 500?
No, that's probably before my time.
Oh wow! Well, it's okay. It's well, it's with a football and a group of kids. So I don't think it's that. Maybe you guys called it something different down in Texas. One person throws the ball into a crowd, yells out a number, and that's the point total if you catch the ball.
It was just a jump ball, really.
Okay, so I mean, it's virtually that. That's like Will Fuller's game. Like that's all he does. Is like go deep and throw the ball up.
Yeah.
So like, give me Nelson Agholor all day long. any interest in Mike Williams?
Mike Wallace?
Oh, Mike Wallace, yes.
So, a little, but more in like a best ball format, just because Torrey Smith was there last year and he had like two or three games where he broke away from the defense, and that's what, you know, Mike Wallace kind of reminds me of. But in a dynasty format or in, you know, a deeper format, a guy I want to look at or a guy that I'm looking to draft is Mac Hollins. Last year, he kind of burst on the scene for a couple games, and he's got that speed factor. And just as, you know, put him on the end of my bench and see if something happens, give me some Mac Hollins this year.
They have a team of, like, one-hit wonders. Kamar Akins on this roster, Marcus Smith on this roster. Like, all those guys that everybody got excited for like, one or two games.
That's what happens whenever you win the Super Bowl. All the veterans that can't get a job, they come calling.
They can't be that old at this point. I mean, well, I get Marcus Wheaton's 27, Kamar Akins 29, I guess. All right. Zach Ertz, where does he rank for you in tight ends?
Top three. I mean, there's not any question about it. Right now, he's my third-ranked tight end, and you can make the argument for one or two. He proved it last year. There was a lot of speculation coming into the season. Is this the year for Zach Ertz? We've been waiting. He's shown all the talent, and finally, you know, someone actually incorporated him in the offense. So,
well, he stayed healthy. Stayed on the field.
That's true too. Also. But I don't know if I want to pay for it, just because I'd rather some other guys later on in the draft, like Jimmy Graham, Delanie Walker, Kyle Rudolph, some guys like that, and kind of fulfill my running back and wide receiver spots before I get to the tight ends.
Yeah, he's currently going off as the number 36 pick overall during the month of August on MFL 10. That, to me, just seems a bit rich.
Yeah, that's your third-round pick.
Yeah, if you can wait 30 picks and get Evan Ingram, Jimmy Graham, or Greg Olsen, or, you know, 40, 50 picks and get Delanie Walker or Kyle Rudolph, like, that to me feels like a better use of your assets.
Definitely.
Okay. Any interest in Dallas Goedert?
Nope.
Okay.
I hate the first name.
Yeah, I love how they traded above the Cowboys just to snag.
Oh, I loved it too.
Like we're not even going to play him this season. We're just going to do this to screw with you guys. That was awesome.
That's one thing that me and you have in common. We both hate the Cowboys, so that's fine.
Well, that's not hard to find. There's nobody who's ambivalent about the Dallas Cowboys. You either love the Dallas Cowboys or you hate the Dallas Cowboys.
Just imagine living in Dallas, though.
Yeah, no.
I can't listen to the local sports radio because 12 months a year, 365 days a year, it's all Cowboys all the time.
Oh, well, but that's everywhere. I mean, everywhere has, you know, I live in San Francisco. I'm not a Niners fan. And, you know, half the year it's all about, you know, ooh, how good are the Niners going to be? And it's like, I don't care. Like, I just don't want to hear about it. Especially at the end of last year when they traded for Jimmy G and he went on that tear. Let's move on and talk about the topic we've all been waiting for. And by we mean me. and that's my Washington Redskins, who are in midseason form by putting guys on IR left and right. So they trade for Alex Smith. They give up way too much for a 34-year-old quarterback and then sign him to a long-term deal. So obviously the Redskins ownership and management group also in midseason form. What are your thoughts on Alex Smith as a quarterback in Washington?
Well, first of all, we've heard your gripes and complaints about Kirk Cousins. Did you like, you know, letting him go and paying Alex Smith what you should have just paid Kirk Cousins?
I liked them letting him go. I didn't have a problem with that. I felt they should have drafted a quarterback. They should have gotten one of the cheaper ones on the market. Kirk Cousins, if they were going to pay him, they should have paid him a couple seasons ago.
Right.
You know, if they didn't want to pay him, they don't want to pay him. I don't have a problem with that because I don't think he is what is worth what he got paid. But at the end of the day, they tagged him for two straight seasons or three straight seasons. I can't remember if it was two or three straight seasons. They paid him what they would have paid him in a long-term deal.
Yeah.
So they should have just given him the long-term deal as opposed to give him a top five QB salary for two or three straight seasons.
And then you turn around and give an older quarterback even more.
Yeah, I don't understand. Like from a real football's perspective, I don't understand it. I mean, I know Alex Smith had a nice year last year, but he won. Even if he wasn't 34, like this isn't a franchise quarterback. Like he wasn't a franchise quarterback when the Niners drafted him first overall, and no one has been more critical of Alex Smith over the course of his career than me. So for him to, you should have seen the smile on my wife's face when the Redskins traded for him. And not only that, gave up a valuable piece of their defense and a third round pick for the two, like, and then gave him this massive contract. Just none of it made sense. From a fantasy perspective, he's a QB2. Like, I think this, limits his, or I think the offense gives him a tiny bit of upside, but I think his lack of upside limits the rest of this offense. So, like, this was just an awful move for virtually everybody in the Washington organization outside of maybe one or two guys that we'll talk about here in a moment.
Yeah, I agree. And I didn't mean to go on a tangent, but I kind of wanted to hear you rant a little bit, so I'm glad I did. But I think Alex Smith had his best fantasy year last year, which no one saw coming, and he's probably on my do not draft list. Fun fact about his backup, though, my favorite college football player of all time, Colt McCoy. My dog right now is chewing a bone behind me. His name is Colt. I named him right after Colt McCoy. I love Colt McCoy. So, but as far as Alex Smith, he's not draftable for me this year.
No. I mean, let me check what his ADP is and see how many quarterbacks below him.
We'll go through the motions for the listeners, but
I mean, well, he's going 18th. That's like 18th off the board. It's not bad because I'll take him over Prescott. I think Derek Carr and him are a toss up, depending on. Obviously, we're talking about like a 2QB or a Superflex league. If you drafted a highly volatile quarterback like in Andrew Luck or Deshaun Watson, give me Alex Smith as my QB2. But if you drafted a safer guys like a Breeze or a Brady, then I'll take Derek Carr on the upside that he could potentially bring.
And do you want Alex Smith or Eli Manning?
Same deal as with Carr. Upside, give me Manning. If I want a little bit of safety, I'll take Alex Smith.
Gotcha.
But, I mean, ultimately, I don't, you know, I'm hoping that I'm never in that situation.
Right.
Like, I'm hoping, like, my QB2 is Mariota or Mahomes. Like, in a 2QB league, I'm either going to get my QB1 as an elite guy, one of the top four, and then I'll, you know, maybe try to go and get a Mahomes or Mariota, a Matt Ryan, someone like that, or I'm double tapping. And so I'm taking the Stafford, Roethlisberger, or two of the Stafford, Roethlisberger, Rivers, Ryan kind of tier.
Yeah.
So it seems very unlikely, and I've got the Barf League draft coming up here soon, which is a 2QB league, to kind of work on that or play that out that strategy. But I seriously doubt Alex Smith will be on any team of mine this year.
Except for the one you root for.
it's so brutal. The Redskins, like I mentioned, in midseason form, Darius Geis lost for the season in the first preseason game, tore his ACL, which is really unfortunate. I had high hopes with Alex Smith that this offense was going to run the ball a little bit more and Geis was going to have a monster year. That is not obviously going to happen. Lots of other running backs on this team, Byron Marshall, Samaje Perine dealing with injuries. So they go out this week and sign Adrian Peterson. What are your thoughts on Peterson as likely the number one running back on this team?
Late round flyer for me. I mean, last year was a lost year for the beginning of the season. Then he went to Arizona. We were able to pick him back up and get some production for him, but he's probably like the second running back on my bench, and I don't think there's enough data right now to generate an ADP, so I can't say, you know, how far he's gone. I haven't done a draft since he signed, but he's probably going to be the second running back on my bench if I draft him. But before we kind of stray away from Geis, I know he's lost for the season, but I heard on SiriusXM radio today, you know, there's still people drafting their rookies. They still have to draft their rookies in a dynasty league. Mm-hmm. Where does Geis fall for you? Because this guy said he's still probably like a top 25 running back in a dynasty format.
Oh, and ooh, a top 25 running back in a dynasty format?
Yeah.
I don't know. Well, I mean, let me start with the caveat that if you followed any of my baseball work, when I talk about dynasty and keeper leagues, I tell people I do not change my ranks in baseball very much, if at all, for dynasty leagues or keeper leagues. I always want to win for this year. And so when you talk about football, I'm even more stringent to staying to redraft ranks. There's no way he falls in my top 25 ranks, even for a dynasty league.
Right. And then if you're drafting, you know, your first year player right now in the offseason, are you still taking him if you have, like, if you're trying to rebuild or if you're going for the championship, which way would you lean?
Well, I mean, obviously, if you're going for a championship, there's no way you can draft him. But like, let's say I'm going to pull up a dynasty draft that I did before the injury and kind of see maybe real quick where he would fall for me in terms of since the injury, where I would draft him. He went number two in this league. It's a 16-team half PPR dynasty league. I would probably take him towards the back end of the first round in a 16-team league in a dynasty format.
Yeah, I think I'd be comfortable with that. And that's one thing I don't want people to forget about. Just because he's gone for the year, you know, and there's still people doing their offseason drafts, don't forget about this guy. And this rookie class isn't, you know, on paper, it doesn't look as great as the past couple two. So, you know, just keep him in mind, stash him away on your IR, stash him away on your taxi squad, however your league does it, and, you know, reap the benefits come next year.
I think if you are a team that's rebuilding, you go to the team who drafted Geis if you've already drafted and offer him a second round pick for next year. I mean, I think that's what you have to try to go do and try to snag him away from a team that thought they were getting one of the best picks or players coming out of the draft.
Right.
And see if you can capitalize that way. Maybe it's you make a larger deal and he becomes kind of a part of a throw-in, but that's kind of where I would rank him. Obviously, I don't dig deep into the draft until, you know, January. Like, I let the season play out. I'm not one of these people that are already projecting the 2019 draft.
Yeah.
So, because I think, one, it's extremely foolhardy to do that. And two, I don't have the time or desire to watch that much college football. So, but I would say that a second round in a supplemental draft is fair value for Darius Geis right now.
Yeah.
And something likely that I would definitely pull the trigger on.
Yeah, definitely. I just wanted to get your thoughts on that because I know we're completely different in dynasty formats. Mm-hmm. But moving back to the current roster, Peterson, Samaje Perine, fit Rob Kelly, Chris Thompson, you know, which one intrigues you the most?
I don't think that they would have signed a player like Adrian Peterson if they weren't going to give him the role. I think they drafted Geis because they don't believe in a lot of the running backs on this roster. And I think if they were going to go get a guy to be a fill-in until the rest of the team got healthy, they would have signed Orleans Darkwa, who they had in for a visit last week as well. Like, you're gonna go get a player like that. You're not gonna attract all the attention of an Adrian Peterson, that the attention he gets, to then go put him on the bench.
Yeah, I think I agree. And then Chris Thompson, there's been reports he might not be ready till November. So is he a guy that you're even drafting?
I mean, unless the price is really, really low. But it hasn't been. I mean, it may have dropped more recently, but the price has been pretty high up until now. I'm looking where his ADP is. In the last week, Adrian Peterson has been so far the 67th running back off the board. In the last
67th. Yeah, I like that price, I think. Yeah, there's nobody down there.
He's going after Spencer Ware, Jeremy Hill. DeMarco Murray's going above him.
That'll definitely change, but
yes, it'll definitely rise, but you know, Chris Thompson in the last
half that.
Yeah, Chris Thompson is going as the 28th running back off the board in the last week.
Yeah, that's way too high.
65th overall. Going in front of Sony Michel, in front of Marshawn Lynch,
not a chance.
In front of Penny and Kerryon Johnson, Jamal Williams. So, I'm out on Chris Thompson. As much as I love the talent, all right, we got to kind of bust through the wide receivers and tight ends real quick. They have Doxson, they have Crowder, they have they signed Paul Richardson as a free agent. Who's the guy that you want to own on this in this wide receiver core?
If I rank them, it's going to be Crowder, Richardson, and Doxson, but I don't want to pay for Crowder. I paid for him last year, got burned. So stashing on the end of my bench is going to be Paul Richardson. I love the fact that he's out of Seattle. They might feature him more as a receiver rather than, you know, a run around, go deep kind of guy. So Doxson is you know, a touchdown guy, and that's it. He'll go one for one with one touchdown most weeks, unless he completely, you know, learns how to run a route and stays healthy. So give me Richardson at his price. I don't want to pay for Crowder this year.
I drove the Crowder bandwagon in his rookie year and got paid off huge. I drove the bandwagon last year and got burnt, and I'm driving the bandwagon for Jameson Crowder for another year. love me some Jameson Crowder, especially with the addition of Alex Smith. He's going to rely on Crowder out of the slot. The two players that get the hugest bumps from Alex Smith, Jameson Crowder and Jordan Reed. I love both of their prices this year. I do like Paul Richardson and Doxson. Doxson to me is just, he needs to, just his awareness level needs to come up and his concentration level needs to come up. The talent is obviously there for both Doxson and Richardson. Richardson has no price attached, which is nice. But I'll probably have shares of all three of these guys, and maybe that's homerism, but I think Crowder for me is the guy who has the biggest upside and highest floor out of this group.
Definitely. And then whenever you talk about Jordan Reed, I mean, we're getting a huge discount this year. And 2 years ago, he was close to Rob Gronkowski, you know, and now he's going as the 10th tight end off the board in the past month and a half. Mm-hmm. So give me that. If I'm waiting on tight end, give me the stack of Jordan Reed and Vernon Davis whenever he goes down. And I'll wait on tight end, because this could be, you know, if he stays on the field, we know what he can do. 2 years ago, he made a lot of money for a lot of fantasy players. So stay on the field, and you'll reap the benefits.
You know what I've been doing in a number of leagues is double tapping on Jordan Reed and Jack Doyle, or Jordan Reed and David Njoku.
Yeah, I like that, especially the Njoku. I'm a little bit worried about Doyle with Ebron there, but yeah, Jordan Reed
can't catch the ball though.
But they love him. He was picked before Odell Beckham in the draft. Just remember that.
No, just stop it. I know he was, and that was a huge mistake, and Detroit still hasn't won a playoff game. So, all right. That's going to wrap us up for this episode. Colin, why don't you remind people where you can reach on social media, and then plug anything you're doing.
Yeah, you can find me at CWeatherWax13. Finishing up these football previews, and then finishing up some baseball stuff for the last month as well. But we're going to really attack this football stuff hard. I know me and you, Justin, we're going to do the preview show every Thursday or Friday. It'll come out for that weekend's game. So we're really excited about that. Mm-hmm. And, you know, reach out to us if you have any questions or want us to talk about anything on the show.
Yeah, we'll preview every game every Thursday. You and I will get together, and I'll release it either Thursday afternoon. Yeah, probably Thursday afternoon, so I could try to get the Thursday night game on there for people who want to listen to that. So that's always fun. And then, yeah, just keep listening to the podcast here. You can catch me on Twitter at JustinMasonFWFB. You can hear me on this podcast, the Friends of Fantasy Benefits Baseball Podcast. I write for Fantasy Alarm. It's a gigantic article I do every year for Fantasy Alarm for football. I cover every single player on every single team and every single game that's fantasy relevant.
Wow.
It's usually about somewhere between 12 and 20,000 words. Comes out every Wednesday. I believe it's free on Fantasy Alarm. So it's a massive article I do over there in season. So definitely check that out. You can see my baseball work at FanGraphs. And then obviously Friends of Fantasy Benefits as well. All right, that's going to wrap us up. For Colin, myself, thank you for listening. Have a fantastic football season.